So that song we're just singing, and the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It talks about this image, and it comes from a passage of Scripture. I want to read it to us. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. The people of that society that were judged by everyone else, discounted by everyone else, they all gathered around to hear Jesus." Have you guys ever been around a group of people like that ever in your life? I don't know. So they're all around Jesus. Then there's the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were the people that said, "We deserve respect because we do things right. We know about God." And they were judgmental. And they said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And you have to love Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is awesome. So Jesus answers that criticism with a story. And Jesus told them this parable. As we read this story, I want you to picture in your mind what Jesus is talking about. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? So how many of you, as you're imagining that, maybe at first you start actually imagining a real sheep and a hill and whatever. How many of you start thinking about your own life story and when you went away from where you knew you should be and how most of the people you left didn't bother looking for you, but Jesus did what nobody else did. What did Jesus do for you? Here it goes on. It says, when Jesus finds a sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Can you picture that, what that looks like? For a shepherd to joyfully lift up a lost sheep, put it on his shoulders. So a lot of us that think like, well, Jesus has saved me because he has to. He's such a good guy. But I'm terrible. We don't have this image that Jesus fought to get to us and that Jesus is overjoyed to have you. It says, Jesus brings us home. He calls together his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." So Jesus is hanging out with a group of folks like in this room. And some of the folks are there and they know they need help. And some of the folks are there and they're judging other people. And Jesus tells them, here's what you all need. You need to start with realizing what I've done for you. It's only when we get to that, really focusing what Jesus has done for us, that we can go any further with God. So today we're going to have this real positive time. We're going to be talking about God's love for us and how it can transform us. And so if you guys will pray with me, I want to invite Jesus to teach us about that. Let's do that. Jesus, I pray today, help us to know how much you love us. I don't have to pray that will change us. There's no way that won't change us. I just ask that you would help us to open up to your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about somebody that was changed by Jesus' love. We talked about this woman at the well, John chapter 4. When she first meets Jesus, she is avoiding other people. She's ashamed of her past and ashamed of her current life. And she's going out of her way to avoid people. And she's rude and sassy, and she pushes people away. That's who she was. And by the end of a conversation with Jesus, she's gotten to the spot to say, "I want to really worship God. I want to really connect with God, but I need a Savior." And Jesus tells her, "Well, here I am." So that's where we left her last week. Well, if you read on in John chapter 4, she leaves her water jug that she was first after, you know, going to get water. She leaves that. She's not worried about water anymore. She runs back to the town and starts to tell everybody in the town about how incredible Jesus is. So this woman who was going out of her way and ashamed and avoiding people now starts talking to everybody about a Savior, about hope. And she does something that I don't think I could pull off today. She convinces all those people to get out in the hot sun and go see something. And honestly, I'm not even going to try it, because I don't like trying stuff I fail at, to be honest. So, like, I'm not even going to try to get you guys to, like, walk to Van Horn football field right now, because, like, I know you guys. Like, most of you are like, well, I got this thing, or I can't, or I didn't sign up for that. Getting a group of people to move to somewhere when it's hot outside is hard. She gets a group of people to move to go meet Jesus in the heat of the day, and they already, some of them already believe in Jesus because of what she told them, even before they meet him. But Jesus sticks around that town for a couple days. Here's how things wrap up. Verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Then in verse 40, it says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So when Jesus shows up to this town, he picks the woman that everyone in the town had been talking about. He picks the woman who didn't want anything to do with anyone else. And his loving interaction with her pushes her to be the gateway for the whole town to start a connection with God. So the thing I love about the Bible and about Maywood is, like, you could see some parallels if you look around very much. You see that Jesus did that sort of thing 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still in that same sort of activity. Let's take somebody and totally transform them and make them a light for me, okay? So there's a lot of people we could talk to, but I told you guys this series is about me and the small group leaders praying and figuring out how to bring this stuff to you together. And so Eddie, who you heard from, and Michelle Welsh were meeting with me about this sermon and how to do it. We were talking about, well, who can we talk to through this? And Michelle said, well, you got to talk to Tracy Johnson, because they knew each other through small group. And so we want to talk with Tracy. So Tracy, if you will come up, I will find you a mic. Yeah, so excited. Yeah, okay. So here's... Yeah, let's just jump right into it. Tracy, tell us a little bit about before you knew Jesus' love, were you like the Samaritan woman at all? Like, what was life like?
Well, I can relate to the Samaritan woman. I was sarcastic. I challenged the Lord's word. I was mean. I was hooked on heroin. I was pregnant. I was running from the law. I was a dope dealer. I destroyed families. I destroyed my own family. Yeah, we call her Suzanne.
The old you, okay. Yes. Yeah, we talked about that in first service. Okay, she's got a name, yeah. So how did Jesus' love change things? Like, how did that show up and change something?
Well, let's go back 22 years. I came out here because I was hiding from law enforcement, and I was 4 months pregnant. I had my son out here. What happened was God touched the... I had morals and values. I just didn't show them in the criminal world. So he knew how to get to me like that. So he touched that motherhood part of me that, you know, how dare I... subject an unborn child to what I was doing. How dare I take him that way to follow in my footsteps? And how dare I addict him to drugs? How dare I do that? It was disgusting. So he brought me out here to be with my family. I didn't know anybody, so I got off of drugs, and that was 22 years ago. I've been off of heroin. My son was born clean and free of drugs because I was off of that. He's healthy. He's healthy. He's still kind of a, you know, but he's healthy and he's doing his own thing. And I have two and a half beautiful grandchildren, one on the way. But what he did to my life is, I had to go through some hardships because life is not supposed to be easy. And he taught me how to love. I didn't really care about human beings too much. I like to step on them and do some, sell drugs. It was awful. So, but he taught me how to love. And when he said that, I was just wrote this down. He said I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. And I said, what? No, I'm not gonna. I don't want to do that. But then I started getting into the Word, and I started going to my Wednesday night group. And I had Kathy V, who really just helped me through that, helped me understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she really helped me through that, to understand the Bible, and we talked it out, and I became more comfortable with talking about the Lord and talking about the gospel and what it really meant to me. And pretty soon I opened up, and I surrendered. I didn't even know what that meant or how to do it, but somehow he said I was ready. So I surrendered. I opened up. Holy Spirit's in my system. Talks to me all the time. Sometimes I don't listen a little too well. But he changed my life to where I have to love my neighbor, and I want to love my neighbor. And I mean,
yeah, which one thing I can't not say that you said about Kathy. Kathy is...
She's my iron fist in a velvet glove.
So, yeah, Kathy can be hard for sure, which is good.
That's what I needed. Yeah, it was awesome.
You mentioned there that you had to surrender, but mm-hmm. you didn't even quite know what that was. And a lot of people hear that word surrender, and what does that mean? Give us an example in your life of Tracy, or old you even, wants to do something.
Yeah.
But you know Jesus wants to go a different way, and you got to do it his way.
All right.
Tell us about that.
Well, it happened to me this morning.
The enemy
was trying to sabotage me. I mean, he was really trying to sabotage me. It took a minute for me to realize that it was the enemy. Because it was through someone that I love and care about. But anyway, I was starting to revert to the old Suzanne, and I wanted to do harm, and I wanted to get back at that person. But as I'm driving, I stop at the gas station, and I just bow my head and start praying. You know, Lord, I realize this is the enemy. And through that, I realize that God gave me the power to stomp on that evil, dirty, nasty little thing that was trying to sabotage me and trying to get me not to talk about myself or be here with Jake. And I realized that, and I have to be thankful because, if I didn't have the thought of the Lord or the Holy Spirit in myself today, I don't think I would have stopped and prayed and asked for help. I think I would have, we don't want to talk about that.
So, I love that idea that God gives you the power. Mm-hmm. That we know on our own that evil that gets a hold of us, we can't fix that on our own. But God gives us power to stop and pray and say, "I need your help," and then do contrary action. You had to actually do some. I mean, we don't have to get into all the details. It's just this morning.
Right.
But we got to talk about it. She had to do action against what she wanted to do.
You know, and you have to learn. I had to learn too that the woman at the well. She, in a way, I'm like that too. She held her shame higher than she held herself. I mean, she it was like, she didn't think much of herself. And her shame was just overpowering. And she was living life like that was normal. And when she met Jesus at the well, she realized, hey, this is not normal the way I'm living. And like you said, she left her little water container there, and she took off because the Lord had already filled her with the living water. He already gave her the gospel. Yeah. And so, he gave her the gospel. So she was cool, and she ran and told everybody. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I tell everybody, whether my mom says, "Shh, Tracy, don't say that. You know, can't talk about religion." No, it's I say that because he saved my life. God saved my life. And Jesus loves me today, tomorrow, and the next day, right? Yeah.
And so two more thoughts, Tracy, if you could give us. One is, before you get to the verse, I think, that you want to share, mm-hmm. tell us about just the emotional feeling it was when you first knew how much Jesus loved you.
Well, it was kind of scary. You know, it's a little scary. I'm a survivor of domestic violence for a lot of years. So it was a little scary. But I decided that that I was going to, I was stepping both feet forward. I wasn't going to straddle the fence. I was going to do it. So I gave it over to God. And he taught me about blind faith. He taught me how to love one another, he taught me how to be giving. He taught me not to be selfish and not worry about material things. But most of all, he taught me how to pray and just love human beings. This is a person that I didn't care, but I care now. I care about everybody. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, do you want to share a verse with us?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I didn't memorize it. But this is just kind of struck me, so I thought I'd bring it today. It's James 1:6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So you have to me that says believe no matter what. I mean, you don't be wishy-washy. You know, just put it all forward, and if you do that, your life is going to change forever, and it's going to change for the better, for real. Awesome. Amen.
So, really excited to have Tracy come up and share with us, and that God taught her how to live, or taught her how to love other people. But that last verse. When you ask God for something, you got to believe it's really there. And some of us here, we're going to hear about God's love, and we're going to have a really hard time holding on to that Jesus actually loves us. Satan loves to put in these lies, and he's had people our whole life helping him out to plant these little seeds of you're not good enough, you're a failure, you're never going to amount to anything, you're dirty, whatever it is that people have planted in you. Satan loves to then water those things. So, as Christians, what do we do? How do we take hold of it? Well, today I want to teach you guys a tool that you're going to get to experience in your small groups if you come to small group this week. But it's called Barnabas Time, and it's a very specific tool. Okay, it's not the total package in how to develop somebody, but it's just one tool of it. Okay, so Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. He was an encourager, and you can find his story in the book of Acts. But Barnabas Time is when you just say, we're just going to encourage somebody right now. Now, that doesn't mean there's, kind of like Kathy, this is the red velvet moment of the two. You know, there is that iron fist moment where you do need to come alongside somebody, pull them aside one-on-one and say, hey, you're not doing right. But there's also a time to come as a group and say, we're going to put a spotlight on one person and say, hey, Jesus has done these good things in you, okay? So I want to invite Marcus to help me do this, and Ernie, as a favor, is going to come up and let us do a Barnabas Time for him, which is nobody wants to be in the spotlight. Ernie doesn't want to be up here, so thank you, Ernie.
No, you're good. Now, Ernie, you're just going to sit here and take this.
Okay, so you'll notice there's only two mics here, so I'm going to give some tips on how to do a Barnabas Time because we got some of the small group leaders in here. So one of the rules is that the person that you're encouraging, like, they don't get to respond. Because everyone likes to say, like, oh, no, and, like, try to, like, belittle compliments or whatever. But that's not what this time's about. It's about saying, you know what, God's done some good things in your life, and we're going to point them out, and we want to plant positive things in you, okay? Now, it can be tempting, like, let's do it for every single person in the room. Well, for one thing, like, on a Wednesday night, you don't have enough time to do it for everybody in the room. But I'm going to get away from you a little bit, the mics. Another thing, I don't know what we're doing with feedback, but so is that better? Okay, so another thing about that is it kind of turns into like let's all pat each other on the back if you do it for every single person. I actually think it turns out better if you just focus on one person, and then you can do a Barnabas Time another week or another time, or maybe focus on one or two or three if you got a larger group, okay? So what's going to happen is we're just going to say something that I know about Ernie, something that Marcus knows about Ernie. And I will also say, like, well, we'll let Marcus start. I'm talking enough. Marcus, you want to jump in?
Yeah, so So what are we supposed to do? Just tell Ernie?
Encourage Ernie, yeah.
Ernie, you know, you're just going to sit here and take this. I know this is hard for you to not talk, but you're going to do it. So, Ernie, I think that's really awesome. I think that's really awesome that how you just give yourself to the program Alcoholics Anonymous, and that you go are constantly helping people, giving people rides to whatever it is that, you know, like Bob will ask you to do stuff all the time, and you do it. I just think that's really great.
Yeah, awesome. So, Ernie, I could say a lot of different things, Ernie, but the thing I would put at the top of my list is that you are a good friend. You will help other people. I knew no one wanted to sit in your seat today. Sorry, man. But I asked you because I knew our friendship matters to you, and I knew even though you hated being up here, you would be up here. And I know when other people ask you to do things, like, you treat other people, like when other people ask you for help, it means a lot to you because I know you really value those friendships. Like, that's a gift that God's given to you. Jesus is a really good friend. He talks about that in John 15. And, like, your friendship, the way that you treat friends is a Christ-like thing about you, Ernie. And so, like, I really appreciate that about you, man. So, okay. Thank you, guys. That's it.
That's it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you, guys. So you're good. You're good. Yep. Okay. So one other thing I want to throw out. We put people on stage and we can have these happy Barnabas times. And you can do them in a group of 12 and it's real easy. What Ernie just said right there, though, is like, you're my mentor, man, to Marcus. I know Marcus and Ernie have had some conversations that haven't always been easy, where they're pushing each other. Okay. There's a time to push and to say, like, hey, man, you have to make a change. You can't do this or that. That's what real love is. It has that side of it, too. So in small groups today or this week, we're going to be pushing on this, like, God really loves you. And if you can't take hold of that, you can't be who he wants you to be. But I also want to throw out to you, like, be ready. As you get close to people, they are going to hold you more accountable, okay? And that's something else we need, too, okay? Because Derek, if I can throw a little bit of your story out, and then we're going to get out of here. But this morning, can I say a little bit of what you said downstairs? So Derek was talking about, he came to a crossroads, and in his mind, he was flipping back into his old self. Somebody had done something against a family member. I don't know all the details, but he wanted to take control of it. And he knew right away, here's a crossroads. It's my way or Jesus' way. And he did not want to go Jesus' way. Every single one of us comes to those moments. In order to really have Jesus' love, when you come to that crossroads, you got to stay on Jesus' path. Also in John 15, Jesus says, I love you. He talks over and over how much he loves you. Then he says, now remain in my love. If Derek had said, like, I'm going to handle this my way, I'm going to take care of my family my way, he'd be that lost sheep again. Jesus would be chasing after him again, but he wouldn't be holding him on his shoulders. We have to make that choice to say, like, I'm gonna stay with Jesus by keep doing the things Jesus tells me to do. They're not easy, okay? Every single one of us is working. Nobody I had on stage here today, and myself included, none of us are perfect. But today, we're saying we're loved by Jesus, and we're going to live for Jesus. That's what we all get to choose, okay? So let's pray as we go. Jesus, we thank you for your love. Nothing we have is any good that's not based in your love. So Jesus, we open up our hands to you. Show us how to obey you. Show us how to know how loved we are. Help us to love other people the way that you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.